Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is 8:18. We heard from Jill Brest. That is Gary's mother. Gary joining us in a studio this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Howard. I am okay as I can be for now.
Yeah, I would imagine very, very fragile.
Correct.
It can't be easy. It can't be easy. And dealing with this also publicly has got to add another layer to it. And I thank you for it, because I think this is an important conversation that people need to hear, even though it is probably quite difficult for you.
So in all honesty, I have come to terms with what did happen, the experience that I went through. Was it an experience that I thought would ever happen? No. It was a very extensive, what felt like a lot longer than it was, but luckily it was only 12 hours until I was found, rescued, and brought back to
only
safety.
12 hours.
Correct.
That's a lot. 12 yeah. hours. 12 hours is a lot. So what happened? Take us through the day.
So it was a simple drive. Sorry, I just want to correct what you said. I wasn't coming back from Sandton. I was actually on my way to Sandton.
Okay.
And I'd taken the Marlboro off-ramp going past the Marlboro Gautrain station, to which those robots haven't been working forever at the bottom there.
We announce it all the time.
Correct, yeah. So waiting in the queue patiently, all of a sudden I get this big surprise of three wonderful gentlemen standing at the car. One at the passenger door, one at the driver's door, and one at the back door. To which, by impulse, I had checked to see if the doors were locked, and by accident, I had unlocked them. And that's how they managed to gain access. Yeah. So when that happened...
Wait, what time was
it? So it was about 1:15 in the afternoon.
Okay.
So there was a gentleman that jumped in the passenger side, obviously, and once he was successfully in, the guy came into the driver's side. And the third guy was waiting in the back for me, obviously, to which they picked me up and threw me in the back, to which I was surprised with a face cover and being tied up at my hands and feet.
Were there other cars around at this
point? Correct, yes. But I don't know if there's weapons involved. I don't know if people react differently when they see it. And it all just happened, so it felt
quickly.
Like a matter of a split second.
Right.
And then we were gone.
And they drove the car?
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Where we were going to, how we were going, I have absolutely no idea.
Well, because you had something over your face.
Correct. I was covered the whole time. During the whole process, I had been covered.
Right. So this means it's premeditated, really. I mean, they brought what they needed with them. They 100%. Were looking for somebody.
Correct. 100%. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly where they were taking me. They were obviously communicating to the other people that were obviously waiting for us at the final destination. Mm. So... at that moment in time, I wasn't really thinking of anything. I was unaware of what was actually going on until we had landed at the destination. Thank God, and I don't know how I managed to get it right, I had kept my niece's cell phone in the car with me on that day. And we have an app called the Family App.
Right. So it's you know where everybody is.
Besides that, it's for a parent also to track what your child is doing on their phone, what they are downloading, if there's anything that they shouldn't be, and there's also a tracker on the phone.
Right.
So once we had got to the destination, my sister, after I was able to phone her for the first time at 2:00 and notify her as to what was going on, I had exactly 20 seconds to speak to my sister. That's all they gave me before they took the phone and had continued chatting with her the whole time.
Right, right. So that now is about 2:00. You're somewhere. You don't know where it is.
I have no idea.
Your face is still covered?
Correct. My face was covered the whole time.
Right.
Throughout the time that I was held hostage, it was covered. So I hadn't seen any light, any
faces.
I hadn't seen anything.
I guess
throughout.
Maybe in a way that gives you a little bit of hope. Or not?
To a degree, but again, you don't know if you're being watched the whole time. You don't know who's with you. You don't know how many people
so
are doing anything. Correct.
Yeah.
So there are certain things that do go through your mind. But surprisingly, and I think what saved me also in a way was that I managed to remain 100% calm throughout the whole.
How did you do that?
That's a question that I cannot answer. I don't know how I got it right.
What does it mean you remained calm?
So I spoke to them as if they were my friends.
Right.
I said to them, I said, guys, I have the utmost respect for you. Whatever you ask from me, I will give you. Whatever you request, whatever you want, I will abide by whatever you're asking me to do.
Right.
And we were just having it. It was almost as if I was talking to a group of friends. Right. That's how I kind of went into that mindset and mode. And so there was no time that I was showing them that they needed to stress that I was going to do anything or I was going to try and...
Correct.
And I think the most important thing was that I had my sister also on the other side, which, thank God, acted like an absolute machine. She was an absolute godsend, who was dealing with these guys the whole time. And I only heard the first two discussions that they had. After those two discussions, I had no idea about any other phone calls, anything. What I can say, I know for everyone in the world, it's the most convenient thing to have all your banking apps and everything, all your accounts linked to your cell phone. It is probably the worst thing that we can do. And I learned this firsthand right here. They asked first before anything if I had any money on me, which I obviously didn't. They asked me to open my banking apps. I had to give them access to everything. And they kind of look and see where and how they can do it before they phone all over.
So in other words, they had you had your apps on you, they would have cleared out everything.
So I did have the apps. Have the apps. But luckily, at that time, I had zero money in the account that they were able to look at on the phone.
Okay. So that, and that is why then they went to the next step of phoning somebody.
Correct, indeed.
Yeah. And then you're there, this is now going on, it's 2 o'clock, this is going on throughout the day, you're just sitting there. How are they treating you during this
time? They were unbelievable, I must admit. Wow. They weren't aggressive at any stage. They only got slightly aggressive when they asked me for the passwords for my email addresses, to which I honestly have no idea what the passwords are, I'm not going to lie. Obviously, our cell phones, you save the password in once, they remain fingerprint access. That's how we all get into certain things nowadays. So that's when they started getting aggressive and angry, because they wanted to obviously switch off the Google location somehow, and they needed to do that via disabling all my email addresses, everything. I couldn't give them those details. To when they said, you're trying to get clever with us, you're trying to play games with us, we're going to hit you. So that stage I said, well, I cannot give you a password. I don't know. I've given you all the passwords that I can think, so hit me.
Right.
I gave them that option.
A few people asking what car you were driving.
So it's actually a rental car. It's not even a car that belongs to us at the moment. So it's a Suzuki. It's literally the smallest, most simple, most basic car in the world.
So it's interesting, because then you're not targeted because you're driving a flash car.
Correct.
And looking flash. It was just somebody that they could target.
Yeah. So like they kept on saying to me, they will not hurt me. They will not cause any damage. They don't want any. They don't want the car. They don't want anything else. All they after is money at the end of
Locals
the day.
Locals or foreigners?
From KZN, surprisingly.
Okay.
So they Zulu boys.
Yeah.
And what they keep on reiterating is that obviously they're working with a whole group of Nigerians. And if you don't abide by what they're saying, and if you don't give them the money, we will end up selling you to these Nigerians.
Oh, how lovely.
And they sell your body parts, and they can get a lot more money than they were actually asking for. So that kind of made my stomach turn already.
Right.
But I wasn't, again, like I said to you, I'd remained calm. I wasn't really scared at any stage. I didn't let myself go into a mode
So that's what I was going to ask is this, did your mind your protect you, or did you genuinely not fear for your life, or did you just not even go there?
I didn't. I don't think I wanted to go to that space. If I didn't need to, if I could sense that there was going to be an issue, then possibly I would have.
Yeah.
But throughout the whole time, there wasn't. Only when they had left, they had moved me from one location to another, to a final destination. And when they left me at the when they dropped me at the final destination, obviously that's when they had been hearing police sirens, and everything within the vicinity that we were in or wherever we were at that stage, because I still was unaware. And they said to me, we have to go now, but as soon as everything calms down, we will come back for you. So at that stage, there was that slight sense of worry. There was that slight sense of...
What are they actually going to do with
it? Correct. If they do come back.
I
had no idea if they were. And at that stage, I couldn't differentiate properly if it was daytime, if it was night, if it had gone into nighttime yet. I wasn't really aware. And then... So it carried on and carried on and carried on. And that stage, I was alone when they moved me the second time. They had bolted, they had chained the door with a gorilla chain, put a lock on it, and had disappeared. So obviously the temperature had started dropping. That's when my body had now started going into slight shock, I think, because I didn't know if they were coming back, if they weren't. And obviously with the temperature, so the freezing cold, plus the shock, plus the being tired and not having the movement, and no circulation to my hands whatsoever, really. So when, at the end, my hands looked like I had been injected with purple and blue dye. They were just inflamed, huge, and painful.
And that's when you were rescued? That's when?
No. So I was only found... So I could have been found a lot earlier, apparently, because the teams were...
Well, they knew where you
were. They were close to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I never heard anything around me. And they warned me not to do, like I said, not do anything clever, not alert anyone. So I didn't. Only at 11 o'clock was when I was finally found properly and when I was rescued.
But you have no idea really how long that was that you were sitting there, because you had no way of knowing.
In the last space? No, I had no idea. I can't tell you.
I see. It is 8:30. Thank you. Sharing your story with us. Anything else that you would like to say?
As much as I would love to say to everyone in the open public, just if it ever, God forbid, something similar happens, just relax, calm, be calm, and just adhere and abide to what they say. But it's not easy always for everyone to kind of switch into that mode. So,
Gary,
yeah,
thank you for sharing this with
us. My pleasure.
I know that this is not easy, and I know that the journey from here on is obviously the most important thing is that you're fine, but it's not an easy one, and I certainly appreciate you being so open, talking to us about it. Gary Bress, kidnap victim, talking to us about the incident that occurred to him last week. It is 8:31. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.